For us this morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 16. See you next week, kids. Proverbs chapter 16. You know, in society today, there's a phrase, don't sweat the small stuff. And there's times that we might want to cut a little corner, or we don't think it's really something that is really that important, and so we don't do it. Sometimes when you don't do a small thing, the big thing doesn't get built, or it falls apart, or it doesn't work. But I'm not going to tell you today to don't sweat the small stuff. I want to tell you something different. We need to sweat, or we need to pay attention to the small stuff. Every little thing in our life, we need to pay attention to. Because everything in our life is an opportunity to serve God or not serve God. We're supposed to do all things heartily to Him, whatsoever in word or deed. So this morning, I want to challenge you that we need to start taking an issue of the small things in our life. The gift this morning is a precision tool set. It's for those small screws and those small bolts and those small things that we normally don't have a tool for, but we need to do it anyway. And if you have a computer or something like that, you find out that if that small screw doesn't work, then that whole computer doesn't work at times. Folks, we need to sweat the small things, but we need to have the right attitude to do that. And we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 8 this morning, in way of introduction, and then we'll talk about three things that we need to sweat in our lives, or we need to pay attention to in our lives. But before we go to the Lord's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that our redemption draweth nigh. We thank You, Lord, that You love us. Lord, we thank You for all the benefits that You give us. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the ability, Lord, to come and worship You, Lord. And Father, that we can hear Your Word, Lord. Help Your Word change our lives today, Lord. Help us to understand the truth of it. Father, help Your Holy Spirit to have full reign here. Allow us to take away all distractions, Lord. Not think about what's happening after the service, Lord, but what's happening right now. Lord, bind Satan on our behalf. And Father, help us, Lord, to be more like You. Help us to be changed. Father, someone here does not know You as Savior. They don't know where they'll spend eternity. Lord, I pray that today they will realize that You died on the cross for their sins. You were buried. You rose again. And You offer forgiveness of sins because You paid that penalty on the cross. And You overcame the penalty of sin, which was death, when You rose again. Now You sit on the right hand of God, offering salvation to all who will ask. Lord, I pray if someone needs to do that today here on the internet, that they would do that. Father, help us, Lord, to study Your Word and to hear Your Word, Lord, and have it affect our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, it says, the preparation or the counsels of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a what? Little. With righteousness than great revenues without right. In way of introduction here, we can kind of break this passage down into several points, and then that leads us into our message this morning. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, we see a contrast in the way of thinking. You either think the way of the Lord, or you can think the way of man. It says here in verse 1, it says, the counsels of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We as Christians are supposed to give an answer. It has supposed to be with salt and seasoned with grace. And let our words glorify God. Let the meditation of my heart, the words of my heart, be pleasing unto him. That's one way of thinking. Paul says to the Philippians, he says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That's one way. The other way is the world's way. What I'm doing is my thing, and it's right all the time. And if you're not doing it my way, you're wrong. Because it says here in verse 2, it says, all the ways of man are clean in his what? Own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. We need to understand, how is our thinking controlled this morning, folks? Is it controlled by God? Or is it controlled by worldly thoughts? So we see this contrast in the way of thinking. We see in verse 3, a call to right thinking. A call to right thinking. In order to receive this message this morning, we need to have right thinking. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord. Let's make a decision this morning. Folks, do nothing else but make a decision. You're going to follow God. Amen. You make a decision to follow God. You go down that path. Then this verse says this, and thy thoughts shall be established. You'll think the right things. You won't think the world's things. And so we see this call to right thinking. In verses 4 and 5, I said 3 and 5 up here, but it's in verses 4 and 5, there's a consequence for not following God. It says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, not for you. We get the benefit of it. Yea, even the what? The wicked for the day of evil. And in verse 5, it says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. You know why we don't follow God? Because we're too proud to. You know why you don't do the things of God? Because you're too proud to. I'm going to have it my way. And it says here, though hand join in hand. You get as many people around, but that doesn't mean God's wrong. It just proves God's word is true. And you know what the consequence of not following God is? Judgment. It's judgment. He shall not be unpunished. So that is the consequence for not following God. Verses 6 and 7, it says the consequences for following God. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. You get rid of the things that are separating you between God today if you're following Him. You can respect. The respect for God means you'll depart from evil. If you say, I love God, but you're doing the wrong thing, how can you convince people that you're following God? If you truly love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you wouldn't even want to think of this. Paul says, I want sin to be exceedingly sinful that I won't commit it against God. And then it says, here, look at this. Look at the benefits of following God. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord. Don't you want to please God? We always want to please our parents. I hope some of you kids want to please your teachers. I had a hard time finding that this year. But the issue is that we want to please those who gave us stuff. And so basically, when a man's ways please the Lord, what happens? Even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, because he's a God of all peace. Christ reconciles us between ourselves and God the Father. We're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation and bring peace to situations and not conflict. And then the last thing is, it all starts with something little. It all starts with something that is better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. You know, the world says don't sweat the small stuff. But I could tell you this. If you have a spot on your arm and it's cancerous, and you say it's just too small to deal with, and you don't take care of it, it could be a raging disease all the way through your body. If your appendix starts hurting you, and it's a little teeny, teeny, teeny thing, and you start getting, you don't take care of it, all of a sudden you start getting a fever and it'll kill you. You need to sweat the small stuff. And we need to understand that the world says, don't worry about it. Don't make mountains out of molehills. And that's a true statement. Because we allow something to get between us. We say something the wrong way. We do something the wrong thing. We don't correct it early. And all of a sudden, it just keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it becomes an obstacle and a stumbling block. It could be a stumbling block for you. It could be a stumbling block for your family. It could be a stumbling block for the church. The issue is, let's not make mountains out of small things that we neglect. You know, something little that's unresolved can cause bigger problems later on. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 9, it says, grudge not against one against the other, brethren. So we can do it for people in the church. We get offended, we don't get it right. We don't get down to the root, we don't get it fixed. And then all of a sudden we try to justify ourselves, and that's how you start a grudge. There's a story in the book of Acts about a guy by the name of Simon. And he comes to Peter and he says, hey, I want to do the things that you're doing, casting out things and healing people and everything else. And he tries to pay Peter with this, for this gift. And he says, your money perish with you. That's what Peter said. Simon, he said, you can't get those things your way. You got to get them God's way. He says, you're in the gall of what? Bitterness. You're in the gall of bitterness. Folks, problems unresolved lead to bitterness. They lead to mountains that start out as molehill, and then they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden it gets to a point where they can't be resolved, or they won't be resolved. It says, grudge not one against another brother, unless he be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. And the judge is God. He sees everything. He sees everything. That's with Christians. Because he's writing to brethren. Look at what Jesus says about your enemy. Or those you're not. He says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. You know, when we do something wrong, we need to make restitution quickly. We need to make reconciliation quickly, because not it can fester up. And if it's someone that has some power against you, it can lead to a big problem. And look at what he's saying here. He says, agree with thy adversary, thy enemy, quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to this officer, and thou be cast in prison. You let something unresolved, something small unresolved, and all of a sudden you find out that you're in prison. You find out that you're in a place you don't want to be. And then you say, how did I get here? And we can go back and see where it started. Where it started. Something a little unresolved can cause bigger problems later on. However, the opposite is true too. Something little acted on can cause bigger possibilities later on. Christ's disciples come to him. They say, increase our faith. Folks, that ought to be the desire of every person in here today, is to increase your faith. Christ goes on in verse 6 of Luke 17. The very next verse, he says, the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and thou planted by the sea. And be thou planted in the sea, and it shall what? Obey you. Folks, there's a lot of big things that could be done in our lives that aren't done because we haven't taken care of the faith issue yet. And a little bit of faith, we're supposed to what? Give all diligence, add to your faith this. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. So something little acted on can cause bigger possibilities or bigger promises or bigger results later on. So this morning, I want to share quickly three things that we should sweat in our lives. And don't ignore them. Don't ignore them. Don't ignore the consequences of them. The first one is, we need to sweat the little sins. In the Song of Solomon, it says, the little foxes spoil the grapes. just a little thing going wrong causes bigger problems. And we need to understand what a little sin that's unresolved in our life can cause. The first thing it can cause is because we need to sweat the little sins, because any sin makes us guilty before God. Any sin makes us guilty before God. In James chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in what? One point, no matter how big or how small it is, he's guilty of all." It's just a little thing. No one will care. Your spirit will care. And if your spirit doesn't care, there's something wrong. God absolutely cares. Your family could care. Your church could care. We need to sweat the little things because any sin makes us guilty before God. We need to sweat the little sins because any sin makes us not obey the truth. Paul talks to two churches in the New Testament. One is the church of Galatia. And the sin means to be following the wrong way. They had some bad doctrine in there, and they also had some carnality in the church. They were living in their flesh. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 and 10, it says, "Ye did run well." See, any small sin can knock you off your game, Christian. Put you on the wrong path. And it says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the what? The truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." And Paul gets right down into it in the very next verse. He says, you need to understand this, that a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. What is our memory verse? "Be ye holy in all conversation" for this week. All conversation. Everything. What Christ wants to present us as a glorious church without having spot or wrinkle or any blemish at all. When you use a little bit of yeast, those who bake, you put it in dough, what happens? This thing gets bigger. It expands. It gets bigger than what it started as. And that's what happens with sin in your life that's unconfessed, that's unresolved. It gets bigger than what, and then all of a sudden, I don't know how I got it. It's like one of those horror movies where the glob eats the world. But he says here, he says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded." You know, it's expected for us to deal with the little sins. It's expected of us to keep holy. "Be ye holy, for I am holy. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." That's where Paul writes to the Galatian church. But here's the thing. People, Christians say, "I can live my own life, but Jesus loves me. He saved me. I don't care anymore. And God loves me. He wouldn't punish me. He wouldn't do those things." You need to go look at the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians had a whole bunch of problems. They were carnal Christians. The first thing was that they were all arguing over who saved them. "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ, I'm of this." And they had, but then they had a major sin in the church, and it didn't get resolved until Paul stepped in, until God stepped in, and didn't get resolved. And you know what they were doing? They were glorying in it. They said, "Hey, this grace is sufficient. We can do whatever we want." Paul says, don't use your liberty as a license to sin. Right after we had this passage in Galatians chapter 5, it says, "Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh." So in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, we need to understand, because why should we sweat the little sins? Because harboring any sin makes us glorify ourselves instead of God. That's why you did it in the first place. Because you weren't listening to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "And ye are what? Puffed up." and have not rather mourned that he that have done this deed might be taken away from among you? And here's the point. Paul identifies this sin. He says, it's something that even the Gentiles don't even think about doing. And it starts with just a little thought and a little act. And then it grows into this mountain. And it affects you, it affects your family, it affects the whole church. He says that he that have done this deed might be taken away from you. And then he goes on in verse 6, he says, your glory is not good. And then he uses the exact same illustration again. He says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So here's the point. Paul writes here, he says, you don't know this. You ought to know this. But I think people don't know it today. We need to sweat the little sins. And we need to get rid of it. And we need to get rid of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the very next verse says, purge out therefore the whole leaven. By mercy and truth is iniquity what? Purged. Purged means to be eliminated, to be taken out. There's no more part of it in you, that ye may be a new lump. So if you've got a little sin that's affecting you this morning, come and confess it today. Become a new lump. God has grace and He will get you to start over again. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to it, because holding on to it makes it worse. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So we need to sweat. We need to deal with the little sins in our life. Big ones are easy. Little ones are hard. They're hard. Now, I don't know if you follow much news, but there was a very disappointing thing this week on Jeopardy. On the Tuesday night Jeopardy, there was a question. Complete the word. And the question was this. In the Bible, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, our Father which art in heaven, this be thy name. No one knew it. And the answer is?
Hallowed.
What is hallowed? Very good. A single word, folks. A single word. We need to sweat the little words. We need to understand what hallowed means. We need to understand what holy means. We need to understand what we say. We need to sweat the little words, because there is power of a single word. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. You know, when you go in some house or you go in some museum, you see this portrait. And you'll sit there and you'll be in awe of it, the artist's technique or whatever the case may be. It draws your attention to it. Folks, hallowed draws your attention to God. And a single word. We need to understand the power of a single word when used properly. What it can do is it can encourage and provoke people to do the right thing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this, and let us consider one another to what? Provoke. Unto love and to good works. Folks, words can provoke us to action. It can provoke you to good action, or they could provoke you to bad action too. But we need to understand the power of words. The Bible says that every man be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Folks, we need to think before we speak. Peter had a problem with that. How many have a problem spurting out something before? Yeah, we all do, right? You know, we need to understand what words come out of our mouth. And we need to sweat the small words, the little words. We need to look at that and understand what could the after effects of that word being said. So we see the power of a single word. We see the problem of words. The problem of words. In James chapter 3, James writes, he says, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. He says, a ship is controlled by a little rudder. These great big oil tankers are steered by a little rudder, the little wheel up in the wheelhouse. Sometimes it's a knob. And it could take and it could direct the whole thing on a new path. And folks, we need to understand the power of words to encourage people, but also the power of words to destroy people and to discourage people. In James chapter 3, verse 5, it says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth what? Great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, we talk about the wildfires up in Canada, smoke over here. We've got wildfires in Mexico that's making the smoke come over here. You know, it starts with a single spark. And now it's affecting not only them, but it's affecting everybody around them. Folks, and it can start with a single word, a single action. We need to sweat the small words. We need to sweat the little words. You need to pay attention to what we say. Now, on Father's Day, here's your Father's Day message part, fathers. Be careful what you say to your kids. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Now, we can provoke them to anger by actions, but more often we provoke people to do something by words. We need to understand that. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be what? Discouraged. See, words can either encourage or they can discourage. They can either cause victory or they can cause defeat. They can cause distress or they can cause victory. We need to sweat the little sins in our life. We need to sweat the little word. Lastly, we need to sweat the little opportunity. There's a lot of things that we don't do because we don't think it's worth it. We don't think it's meat to our energy and to our effort. And therefore, we just gloss over them. But what happens? Something that's left unresolved can turn into a bigger problem later on. You know, if we don't do something, it won't get done. That's just fact. We need to sweat the little opportunities. The Bible says, and whatsoever you say and do in word or deed or any such thing, do all to the glory of God. Do it heartily to the Lord. We need to realize that no opportunity is too small. We'll let that person do it, or it's that person's job. When you have the ability to do something, do it for the glory of God. It'll be an encouragement. Things will get done. Things will get done. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have what? Therefore opportunity. There is no size on this. It's not about the big stuff so you can look good. It's about the little things. It's the little things that change lives. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Never pass up an opportunity, no matter how small. But sometimes we just say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You need to sweat those things. We need to think about those things. We need to prioritize those things. We need to realize that no action is too insignificant. In the summertime, when we go out in the parking lot, we wait for people to stop by and pray. It's 100 degrees out there. There's car after car after car after car after car after car after passes by. But once in a while, someone will stop and they'll give a bottle of water. And he said, we're encouraged by what you're doing out here. And here's some water. Folks, we do the small things out there, and other people will be encouraged to do small things too. Folks, we need to understand that no action is too insignificant to do. In Mark chapter 9, verse 41, it says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." We're supposed to do things in secret so God rewards us openly. We're supposed to do the small things that other people may not even notice, but God notices. No opportunity is too small. No action is too insignificant when it's done for the right motive and it's done for the glory of God. Because we need to realize that God is watching. In the parable of the talents, about stewardship, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, his Lord said, his Lord representing Christ, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things." And some of those things could be really small. We want to do the big things so people will pat us on our back. You have your reward. My reward's there, not here.
Amen.
And folks, we need to look that way. We need to look that way. It says, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Folks, we need to start our thinking and change the way we think. We started off with the preparations of the heart of man. It's from the Lord. We need to get our heart right with God. Amen. We need to get our mind right with God. And notice that God didn't think it was too insignificant to come out of heaven and come down and die on the cross. And He did it for us.
Amen.
"For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life."
Amen.
He died for the small sins. We need to realize that it's our small sins that put Him on the cross too. We need to watch out for our words. And we need not to miss opportunities to serve Him. Here's the last point. We need to control the small things in our life, or the small things will control you.